Praise God indeed. Hope everyone's doing well. How great God is. I just want to tell you right now, we serve a mighty God. He is with us and will always be. Let's all stand. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer this evening. Praise God. Does anyone on my right side have a spoken prayer request tonight? Yes, ma'am. Absolutely. We sure will. Anyone else on the right side tonight? I see some hands. Miss Tabitha. Yes. Yes. Absolutely. Most definitely. Most definitely. I saw another hand. Yes, ma'am. Miss Michelle. Absolutely. Absolutely. And we know a God that can, don't we? Amen. Anyone else on my right side? I don't want to skip anyone. All righty. Anyone on the left side this evening have a spoken prayer request? Or back in the sound box? All righty. Okay. Anyone up on the left side? Yes, sir.
Well, in addition to Michelle's mom, my mom also.
Your mom too. Absolutely. Absolutely. Anyone else? I don't want to miss anyone. Okay. Do we have an unspoken prayer request? Just show by raising your hand. Oh, God knows and sees each and every one. Our most gracious and heavenly Father, Lord, we just want to praise you. Lord, as we come together tonight, dear Lord, may we be in one mind and one accord. Dear Lord, may we just lift you up and honor you in everything that we say and do. Lord, we want to thank you for your blessings and your mercy and your love. Lord, again, as we open up this service tonight, dear Lord, may you just take each and every prayer request, dear Lord. We're placing them in your mighty hands. Lord, we know that you're the creator of all. Lord, we know that you've conquered cancer. You've conquered all the other back injuries, everything else, dear Lord. And we know that you can be with our loved ones during this time of need. Dear Lord, as you are the healer, dear Lord, and we place our families into your mighty hands, dear Lord, from the elderly down to the youngest. And, dear Lord, for those that are requesting prayer requests tonight, let them feel that completeness. Lord, may they just completely turn it over to you. Lord, for anyone watching on the live feed this evening, dear Lord, that has a prayer request, dear Lord, Lord, we know that you know each and every need. And, dear Lord, we're giving you all the honor and all the glory in Jesus' name. And we all say, amen, amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Praise God. We're going to ask you all, if you would, just turn to page 120. Victory in Jesus. I hadn't had a chance to tell anybody, but they know in the back. I haven't had told Miss Penny yet. Praise the Lord. Victory in Jesus. Let's all just lift the Lord up. As we were singing that, and the Lord just placed in my heart, I don't know, most of y'all don't, we don't look around a lot of people, y'all, your attention's up here. But I just want to say something real quick as we talk about this victory in Jesus. When I ask if you had a prayer request this evening, not only the spoken ones, but those unspoken, was almost 100% in this house a hand was raised. And I really just feel led right this minute. I don't want to just run through our opening prayer, run through our... We're talking about God and about Jesus. And as we sing in His name, and as we bring our prayer request to Him, we know that He's the healer. He's the creator of all. That He's placed everything in order for us. Given us a roadmap through His Word that as I've been studying and listening to different authors and reading and all about the Bible and its uniqueness and everything that's there. And I want us to take a minute, and then we're going to do the chorus one more time, talking about this victory in Jesus. There's victory in His name. It is by one name, and that's Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And that's exactly what we want to dedicate this evening. Hearing about moms, hearing about cancer, hearing the diagnosis, seeing faces and the sincerity. And I'm not telling on anybody because I don't know what those prayer needs are. Even though you watching live tonight, there are needs that need to be filled. And God knows exactly what it is. And I just feel led that as we take just one more minute and then sing that chorus one more time and talk about that victory in the name of Jesus. Because when we pray to Him, we're not praying in the name of First Pentecostal Church of Villarica or Brother Jim or Brother Eddie. We're praying in the name of Jesus. And that's exactly what my heart feels tonight. We need to just take just a minute. Whether you want to say it privately to yourself or if you want to say it out loud, God knows exactly what we need. But I believe in our faith to Him, it's speaking it and saying, Lord, I'm releasing it to You. So I'm going to take just for a second and start a little prayer, but then if Miss Penny and them, if you would, we'll just go right into the chorus after that. But I just want to sing the chorus one more time, but most of all, I want to call on the name of Jesus. Lord, we're coming to You right now, dear Lord, in Your most precious name, and that is the name of Jesus. Our fathers, we call out to You, dear Lord, those prayer requests. Whether we speak our family's names right now or those needs, dear Lord. Lord, we want to thank You for hearing our request. And, dear Lord, as we petition to You, dear Lord, with an earnest prayer, Lord, it's for salvation, dear Lord, it's for healing. Lord, it's for comfort. It could be financial needs. It could be hunger. Lord, it could be loneliness. Lord, whatever situation that You're hearing, each one lifting up in their heart. And, Lord, we know that You know the depths of our hearts. You know it before we even speak it. But, Lord, we need You, and You alone, dear Lord, do we need. Lord, we can't fix this without You. Lord, for our country, for our neighborhood, for the politicians, for those that need to turn their life over to You, dear Lord, time is critical. Time is now, dear Lord. You've given us another opportunity to gather together in Your house. And, dear Lord, we're praying for our families. We're praying for our community, dear Lord, and we're praying in Your name, Jesus. And, dear Lord, we're claiming victory in Your name alone. Lord, for that precious blood that You've shed, for each and every stripe that You took for us, dear Lord. And, dear Lord, we're calling it done in Your name, Jesus. And, dear Lord, by faith, we stand together in one mind and one accord. And Lord, we give You all the honor and all the glory in Your most precious name. And that is Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Praise God. So we're just going to do the chorus one more time. Victory in Jesus. I let her lead into it. I had to get the cross in. Be seated if you can, and just keep that same frame of mind as we've gathered together, and we're just going to give it all to the Lord, and just looking forward to His message tonight and His Word. We're going to go ahead and take up the evening offering, then we'll call off some special singers. Sister Brenda, if you'd come up. Miss Tabitha, you got a song for us tonight? Come on up. And then, brother, did you get your tape moved over? Yes, it's being done now, is that right? Praise God. Praise God. We just love the Lord. Thank you for these men that's coming up tonight to take up our offering. Praise God. Brother Jim, would you ask the Lord just to bless our evening offering, please? Yes, Lord. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
They say there'll be no tears in heaven, but I can understand, for the things that make us cry won't be found in that land. There'll be no pain or sorrow, we'll never be sad again. It's a place of peace and rest, and the joy will never end.
Sister Penny always tickles me. She said, did you bring your band? Yeah, I did. I wanted to say last night, I sang this song at the ladies' meeting last night. There's just been several songs that's just been ringing over and over in my spirit. And this was one that I hadn't sang in a long time, but it was just like yesterday, God just brought it back to me again. And Sunday morning when Brother Eddie was preaching, and when he prayed for Chris and he was talking about only believe. And I'll never forget when God healed me of cancer. Our pastor told me, he said, if you believe, God's going to heal your body in 3 days. And God did just that. Because I told Chris, I said, we're not going to doubt. We're going to believe God's going to do this. And he did. He did it. If he hadn't have done it, I wouldn't have Laz and Gabe today. So I said, what he did for me, I know he can do for Chris. And I'm just trusting God. And this song says, Lord, I believe in you.
I believe. Amen.
Hallelujah. I tell you what, sister, that stirs my heart. I mean, he is faithful, amen. I tell you, one night he burned his love onto my soul at an altar in Missouri one night. And I tell you what, he sealed me. That night he sealed it to me. He is faithful. What he has said he will do, he will accomplish. Hallelujah. Thank you for that song. Hallelujah. Did you get the disc? Yeah. The last song. You know, he's faithful. And I'll tell you what, I recall in his word, he said, you remember when he was taken up, the angel said, why do you stand here looking? He's going to come again in the same manner. And in the spirit of this season, go ahead. He came, he died, he rose again, and he's coming back. Hallelujah. It's a little quiet. I can't hear it. Well, I'll tell you one thing. I'm so glad for my church family. I'll tell you that. And you know, the prayers, the prayer chains, and what have you. It, you know, we've in the middle of the night, prayer requests can come through, and that's nice knowing that our prayer requests can go out in the midnight hour too, and it touches us. You know, that played on the way in. Well, it might just be a testimony. Have faith. Acapella. I definitely need some assistance. Don't tease me. Trying it in the other drive? Okay. You know, I'm blaming my wife, by the way. It worked the last time I touched it. That was a... All right. No, I'm playing. Oh. All right. I could try it on the guitar. Right? In G. I've got a feeling everything's gonna be alright. Even that CD player. I've got a feeling
everything's gonna be alright. Yeah, I got a feeling everything's gonna be alright. Be alright, be alright, be alright.
Alright now.
God sent Moses to lead all his people out, but Pharaoh's heart was hard and thought he'd give him the route. He chased them all down to the Red Sea shore. You know, he thought he wouldn't have to worry about old Moses anymore. But Moses stretched his rod out over the sea, and God answered Moses with a gentle little breeze. I can see Moses now, you know he's got a smile on his face. He's telling all God's people about that deliverance grace. Well, I've got a feeling everything's gonna be alright. Yes, I've got a feeling everything's gonna be alright. Whoa, I've got a feeling everything's gonna be alright. Be alright, be alright, be alright. That little shepherd boy went out to fight a giant. Everybody laughed at such a funny little sight. A little shepherd boy armed only with a sling. Beside mighty Goliath, he seemed a puny little thing. But David said, you come with your spear and your sword. Here I come in the name of the Lord. He took up his sling, he gave it a fling. And when it left his hand, don't you know, David felt like singing. Oh, I've got a feeling everything's gonna be alright. Oh, I've got a feeling everything's gonna be alright. Whoa, I've got a feeling everything's gonna be alright. Be alright, be alright, be alright. Now for the greatest story of them all. Jesus was dying. Hell was having a ball. You know, those demons were rejoicing. They thought they'd won the war. Soon those not heads would not be laughing anymore. 'Cause on first Easter morning, as the sun woke up the earth, the caverns of the deep opened up as to give birth to a resurrected Savior. He's got healing in his wings. Come on now, rise up and see. Well, I've got a feeling everything's gonna be alright. Yeah, I've got a feeling everything's gonna be alright. Whoa, I've got a feeling everything's gonna be alright. Be alright, be alright, be alright. Yes, be alright, be alright, be alright. It's gonna be alright. It's gonna be good. Amen.
Sister Lisa, it's been requested that you sign a song. Have you got any music to get? You got a tape or something to sign by with you? Would you get that ready for us? She does a beautiful job of signing. She's been doing that for a number of years, and it's really, really a moving experience when you see her sign the words to one of the gospel songs. Well, it's good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. On the middle of the week, I don't know anywhere I'd rather be, amen, than in the house of God, worshiping and praising the Lord and thanking Him for all of His many, many blessings. God has been so gracious to us, and I thank Him. You know, I was thinking back there as they were singing, you know, the Bible says, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Amen. How many is glad that we're still breathing? Amen. We have no excuse not to praise the Lord, because if we're breathing, amen, we've got reason to thank the Lord. Regardless of what we're going through or the circumstances that we face, if we're just alive and well and been born again by the blood of Jesus Christ, then we've got a lot to be thankful for. Amen. All right. Praise the Lord. Do just want to echo the testimony that Sister Penny gave the other night. We're so thankful for all the prayers, the thoughts, the kind words, the people reaching out to us during Kevin's time. And he's doing extremely well with the port that they was able to put in. In fact, he's done really, really well. And we thank God for that. Just another little procedure that God has spared him through and brought him through time and time again. And we never, ever want to fail to thank God for what He's done. All right, Sister Lisa, come. Get ready to sign. What's the song you're doing? My Jesus, my Savior. Beautiful. Praise God. I believe that. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Thank God for that. You know, sometimes we don't understand. But I believe it's for the glory of God. Not the sickness, but the healing is for the glory of God. Amen. It's not that we do these things to bring them on us. Circumstances happen. But through this, what a mighty testimony Brother Chris can have too, that God can heal him of that. And I'm looking for complete healing. Amen.
My comfort, my
Nothing compares to the promise that I have in you. My beautiful, beautiful sister Lisa. I remember from before, I think I remember, isn't this Jesus? I think that's Jesus, yeah, I remember that. So if I can't do anything else, I'll just sign Jesus, amen. Amen, that's the sweetest name that I know. Pardon our technical difficulties tonight, and please excuse that. And do you have my tape ready? Yeah, I thought I'd get that surprised look back there. I'm live. I'm alive by the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise God. If you have your Bibles tonight, amen, go with us to the book of St. Matthew. How many loves the Word of God? Amen. Live for the Word of God. In the book of St. Matthew, in the 8th chapter, beginning with verse number 23. It's good to see you tonight. Appreciate each and every one of you coming out on a Wednesday night. It's good to see each and every one. Matthew, the 8th chapter, beginning with verse number 23 through 26. And when he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. Everybody say, followed him. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves. Everybody say, a severe storm. But he was asleep. And his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And he saith unto them, why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. Can we pray? Dear gracious Heavenly Father, how thankful we are, God, for your many blessings, for your anointed presence here tonight. Thank you for those who've gathered. And Father, I pray, God, that you would just send down your blessing tonight, God, upon these people. Pray, Lord, that you would anoint these lips of clay tonight. God, use this vessel, God, as just an oracle. God, that you might speak to our hearts tonight. God, that we may hear from heaven, God, and obey your word. Father, we do remember many who are sick, many who are suffering, many are afflicted. But God, we know that you are a healing power. And I pray, God, for complete healing and miracles on behalf of those who are seeking their healing. Father, I pray for those who seemingly are lost and unconcerned, Father. Pray, God, that you would stir their hearts. God, bring them to an altar of repentance. Father, again, we ask that you just have your will and way tonight. Everything that's done or said, let it be for your honor and for your glory. And we'll give you all that praise. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Tonight, I want to entitle this message, Little Faith. Little Faith. Faith is a great thing. Faith is a wonderful thing. By it, we are pleasing unto God. But I begin to think about my faith, and I begin to think, is my faith where it needs to be? Is my faith as strong as it could be? And I have to answer that question and say, no, it's not as strong as it could be. I believe that my faith could actually be stronger. We find that out in the Word of God. We also find that every man is given a measure of faith. We all have faith. But what do we do with that faith, and how do we exercise that faith, and how do we live by that faith, and when troubles come, are we able to lean on that faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ with our whole heart, our mind, our soul, and body, or is there a little bit of resistance there, maybe not resistance, maybe just a little bit of doubt and fear when it comes to something that we need a miracle for, or we need instantaneous healing, or an open door, whatever the situation may be. And how many knows that God is able to do all those things and more? Amen. The Bible says he's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you and I could ever even ask or think. What a mighty God that is. Amen. Because I know that we have an exceptional imagination, and we can think of a lot of things, and in fact, we need a lot of things from the Lord. But understand, according to the Word of God, he's able to do more than we could ever even expect or think, amen, or imagine. That's a wonderful promise to know that we have a God that is able to do that. But I thought about the disciples here, and I thought about the strongness of the word of the Lord Jesus Christ. How many has ever heard the word or the phrase tough love? Sometimes we have to be the recipients of tough love. Sometimes we have to be the issuers of tough love. If you're raising children, sometimes you find out that you can't just let them have everything that they want. Sometimes the best answer that you can give them is no, not at this time, or no, that's not beneficial to you, or you're not old enough, or you're not, you know, you haven't reached there yet. You know, that's kind of some tough love, because we find out if we give them everything, or if we give in to everything, then that doesn't teach them responsibility, and that doesn't teach them appreciation. Well, we know in serving God that sometimes we have tough love when we pray and we ask and we petition God, and we don't get the answer or the results that we sometimes expect or want, and it's not because God doesn't love us. Never, ever let Satan give you that lie that God does not love you and he's not concerned and he doesn't care about what you're going through. In fact, the exact opposite is true. God cares about everything that applies to us, every problem we go through, every tear we shed. God is aware of it, and God wants to help us through those times. But sometimes God has to speak plainly to us, and I find that was the case as well with Jesus. Here he is with the disciples. Now understand, they've just gotten in a boat. They're going out into the sea. They've just seen and witnessed many miracles of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, we're made believers a lot of time because of what we're able to witness. I mean, how many has ever witnessed the healing power of God? Surely tonight, almost, I guess, 100% of us have witnessed and know. When you witness that, there is not a force on this earth, there is not a person that can change your mind and tell you that God is not a miracle-performing God, because we have witnessed it with our own eyes. How many has ever been the recipient of the healing power of God? In any instant, whether it be a headache, a toothache, amen, or cancer, or whatever the case may be, if we have in fact been the recipient of God's healing power, then there's no force, and especially from the adversary, that's ever going to be able to tell us that God is not a miracle performing God. We have witnessed it, we have experienced it. So did the disciples. They were there when Jesus broke the fishes and the loaves. They were there when Jesus healed the blind. They were there when Jesus spoke to the lame and the lame was made whole. So now they're out in a ship and they're going across to the other side, and there arose a storm. Now, I find it kind of intriguing here because several of the disciples were in fact experienced fishermen. And being experienced fishermen, I would imagine this was not their first storm. Probably they're not their first time to be in a boat or in a ship when a storm came up. But there was something extraordinary about this storm. Evidently, it was maybe worse than one they had ever seen. But again, they began to be afraid. They began to be fearful for their very life. Jesus was, in fact, asleep in the hinder part of the ship and was not perplexed or not concerned about the storm whatsoever. The reason being is because he had immaculate faith. Faith that reach beyond what the disciples were able to have. Now, I want you to notice Jesus' response here when the disciples went and woke him up. And they woke him up and they asked him this question. They said, Lord, first of all, Lord, save us. We perish. In other words, they felt that their lives were in jeopardy. They felt that this was the end of the line for them, and they needed Jesus to come and to rescue them and to save them. And then they said, and he saith unto them, why are ye fearful? And then he follows that up with, O ye of little faith. Now, he didn't say, O ye of no faith. He didn't say, where is your faith, or why don't you have faith? He said, oh, ye of little faith. You have faith, but your faith now does not seem to be large enough or big enough to see the situation, a storm that maybe you've never witnessed before, a storm that you've never gone through. But he wanted to let them know that the faith that you have is great enough to for this storm, just as it was for the feeding of the 5,000, just as it was for the healing of the blind man, just as it was for the healing of the lame person in which you saw And if you will exercise your faith now, that faith that you have is big enough to see you through this present storm. But because of what you're facing now, you're leaning back or going back to that little faith. And I begin to think about that. Lord, why is it that in certain instances in my life, I have seemingly extravagant and majestic faith, whereas in other areas, when maybe it seems like my life is in jeopardy, then my faith does not seem to be quite as strong as it was for another matter. It's not because that my faith has disappeared. I hear people saying, all right, I need to pray for faith. You've got faith. God has given us faith, but we need to use that faith, exercise that faith, and believe what we ask for, and know that the faith that God has given us is able to do things that you and I could never even imagine to be done. So what is that little faith that we're talking about? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. Now, I noticed up there that when Jesus went into the ship, his disciples followed him. We must follow Jesus. We cannot strike out on our own. We cannot try to make it without the Lord, as the song says. I can't even walk without him holding my hand. I don't even want to try to go or to walk without him. I need him every day of my life, especially through the storms of life, especially through the sickness and the afflictions and the circumstances that seemingly surround us so much of our time. But I understand one thing. The disciples followed Jesus, but the disciples were just mere mortals. Jesus was and is the Son of God. God robed in flesh. His faith is unwavering. The Apostle Paul told us that a man asked with unwavering faith need not expect to receive anything. Our faith does not need to waver because of the circumstances. This hit me right upside the head. I mean, it really, really got my attention because I begin to think and I begin to reminisce. Sometimes I feel like my faith is just as high as it possibly can be, and there's other times that I feel like my faith needs some work. And that's when I have to say, Lord, help my little faith. Help my little faith to be big enough to see this problem through. Because I understand one thing, that God does not put degrees on miracles. Everything that the Lord does is a miracle. From the anointing of the eyes, to the walking on the water, feeding the 5,000 in one place, and feeding another couple of thousand in another place, and now he's seeing the storm, but the storm to Jesus is nothing to be alarmed about. In fact, he's resting peacefully. Lord, give me faith when the storm approaches, that I don't run around and wonder what's going on, and Lord, where are you? In the midst of that storm, I can rest peacefully in the fact that I know that my Jesus is going to see me through, that my Jesus is going to make a way for me, even if I can't see the way, if I would just exert just some faith to believe that the Lord will in fact make a way. It's not because they were doubters. It wasn't because they were backslidden. It wasn't because that they didn't love the Lord. It's just because this was something they had not experienced before, evidently, because they were fishermen. I'm sure, feel certain that they'd faced storms before, but nothing like this one. Oh, if we ever in our prayer said, God, I've never in my life faced anything like I'm going through right now. But by the next breath, can't we say, but God, you've always made a way. And you're still going to make a way. That's when we have to convince ourselves, amen, not to look at the problem, but look at the problem solver, amen. Not to look at the condition of the sickness, but look at the healer, amen. And understand, he's already given the promise that with his stripes we are healed, amen. And we have to tell our flesh, we have to convince the adversary that tries to sow seeds of doubt into our heart and into our spirit. No, no, no. You're not going to fear or make me fear through this storm. You're not going to make me think that I'm about to perish, because I'm going to put my faith in a never failing God, and I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to call it done in the name of Jesus. Man, O ye of little faith. I don't think it was so much a derogatory remark as it was a compassionate remark. Because in another place, and we'll get to that in just a little while, he called them a faithless generation. How long am I going to be with you? There's times that we have to really, really, really depend on the faith that the Lord has instilled in our lives. That's when we need not little faith, we need great faith. And that's what I want. And again, you know, it's not the degree of difficulty to the Lord. The degree of difficulty comes from me. It's not that God can't heal a thumbnail and heal the greatest problem in the world. You know, it's me thinking, well, you know, I've got a toothache. In the name of Jesus, heal that tooth. And I really believe that that tooth is going to be healed. But can I tell you, it took a lot more faith to believe when the doctors told us Kevin might not live to be school age. Oh, little faith. Because I began to think about, you know, worried about the year that he would come and be 5 or 6 years old and be school age. But I'm realizing through the Word of God that the same faith that heals the toothache, amen, is the same faith, amen, that fed the multitude, that split the Red Sea, that cooled the fire, amen, that made the lame to walk, made the dumb to talk, glory to God. And the same faith through the power of the Lord was able to calm the storm that the disciples were going through, fearful for their very life. Why are you fearful? I guess our response would be, because, Lord, I'm about to die. And then he says, oh, you have little faith. Where's your faith? Haven't you witnessed the power before? Haven't you seen miracles performed before? You've followed me. You've seen. You've witnessed. You've experienced. And we all said that tonight. So really, our faith ought to grow more and more through each trial, through each heartache, or through each sickness, to see that God can heal this just like he did the preceding things. But you know what? As I was beating myself up, and I was beating myself up, because I was saying, Lord, why is it easier for me to believe for some things and so difficult to believe for other things? Because I believe that you're the same God that can do anything. And I think that's what God wants to instill into my heart right now, to have faith. Don't doubt. Don't look at it and say, oh, Lord, that's going to be a big one. Not to God. The big one is to us. We've already classified it as one of those big, big, big miracles. No, every miracle is big, big, big. When we understand that, and we don't place difficulty on them, we just say, Lord, in the name of Jesus, you did it before, you do it now, I give it to you, I release it to you, and by faith I call it done. Amen. It's our day and hour that we're living in. We don't have time for little faith. We got to have great faith. Great faith. And there's a way to get great faith. The Bible explains that. But understand, we're not the only ones. Those that were near God, those that were loved by God, often found themselves in a doubtful frame of mind and experiencing little faith. We find in the Bible where God spoke to Abraham when Abraham was 90 years old and told him he was going to father a son and be a father of a great nation. His wife Sarah laughed and mocked at the sight or the sound that God had told Abram that they was going, or she was going to bear a son. They had lived by faith. They had walked by faith. They had left their country. They had left their kinfolks just on the spoken word of God. And now this thing that seemed like an impossible one thing that causes us to have a little faith, the moment we see it, we declare it impossible. We're only declaring it impossible because we don't see a way out. Nothing is impossible with God. If God spoke to that elderly family, that elderly couple, and told them, you're going to have a son, then they should have said, thank you, Lord. We're believing it. We're claiming it right now. Glory to God. Praise your holy name. But yet they seemed to have doubt, or Sarah did, because she was exhibiting little faith. Not no faith. I don't believe that we're a congregation of no faith. We have faith. We have faith to believe. We have faith to come and worship and praise the Lord. But sometimes when we face these mountains, man, you ever faced a mountain in your life? Glory to God. The mountain that we see is nothing but a molehill to God. It's nothing impossible with Him. Jacob, sometimes our little faith becomes impatient faith. We can't wait on the Lord. The Bible says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They'll mount up with wings as eagles. They'll run and not be weary. They'll walk and not faint. But Lord, you need to do it now, because I can't wait. It's got to be done now. God intended for Jacob to receive the blessing. God intended for Jacob to be named Israel. God intended for Israel to have the 12 sons, which would be the 12 tribes of Israel. But something was standing in between that. His older brother, by a few minutes, of Esau. Esau was the firstborn who was going to receive the birthright, therefore the blessing. But God had already planned to work it out where He was going to allow Jacob to get the blessing. But Jacob and his mother couldn't wait. So they conceived a plan. You remember the story, how that they were going to trick Isaac, because Isaac's eyesight was very, very dim, and Esau had gone off to hunt, so he put the ram's skin on his arms and pretended to be Esau to get the blessing. Now, he repented of that, and thank God he did. He took a lot of slack for what he did, but got ahead of God, but he was human. Who of us can raise their hand and say, I'm not human? I'm angelic. We're not there yet, folks. And that's what I finally realized. Lord, I'm not there yet. I'm not there yet where I can exhibit great faith in every matter that is presented to me. I want to be, and I believe we can be, but sometimes I'm a man of little faith. And that little faith sometimes is what gets me in the biggest trouble. And I say, Lord, you know, help me to believe for the big things just exactly like I do for the smaller things. Moses himself, the great leader, the one that God ordained to lead the children of Israel out of Egyptian bondage. You remember when the fire was going and God was talking to him, and Moses began to make excuses. You know, I can't speak well. I can't go back there. I'm wanted for murder and all of those things. And God had already told him, you know, he said, tell him, I am has sent you. I am will be with you. And little faith, you know, but finally God was able to convince Moses. Amen. And that little faith grew into great faith, because that same, this is what's so wonderful. When Moses was listening to God through the burning bush, and his faith was wavering, but his faith did not waver when he stepped up to the Red Sea. You remember, that was the same Moses. Amen. And this time, because God had already done the little things, and God had already promised him, I'm going to be with him. This time, Moses stepped up to that raging Red Sea, and he struck his rod out over the, you know, and said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Well, somebody needs to hear that tonight. That same God, that time that you had a little bit of trouble believing, you know, and you went ahead and believed, wait till this next bit roaring fire comes, or this Red Sea, or this storm, or whatever. You step up to it just like you did on that little thing, and you said, that same God that healed me, that same God that opened that door, He's going to do the same thing now. Lord, I'm calling it done right now. That's faith, calling it done before you ever see the effects of it. Amen. And then that little faith becomes great faith. God honors and rewards that. The 10 spies, actually the 12 spies, two of them had great faith. You ever thought they all saw the same thing?
10 said, no way. 2 said, we can do it with the power of God. 10 said, man, these giants everywhere. And 2 said, yeah, but we can overcome them. 10 of them had a little faith. 2 of them had great faith. But they saw the same opportunity. Lord, help me to look at the opportunity for you to get honor and glory and exhibit great faith. Not great faith coming because anything that I can do, but great faith in the power of not doubting God. That's what great faith is. Praying without any doubt. Praying with 100% assurance that what we ask for, God will in fact do. So the 10 spies had little faith. They wasn't bad people. So many times we throw these people under the bus, you know, like Peter, one of the disciples, and when he denied Christ. Yeah, that was terrible, but thank God for repentance. Thank God for forgiveness. I'm not going to say that. I'm going to say I can't stand here tonight and tell you I've never needed forgiveness. Amen. I thank God that He is a forgiving God. And so many times we think these people were so bad. No, they just lacked a little faith. Same as the disciples here. These were followers of Christ, but yet when the storm was on the verge of killing them, they thought, then they didn't have enough faith to say, storm be still or peace be still. But Jesus was able to speak, and instantly there was a great calm. When you exhibit great faith and God intercedes, how many knows what I'm talking about when that great calmness comes over you? It's in God's hands now. God's going to take care of it. Samuel. Remember Samuel? He was the one who anointed Saul to be king. And then Saul disobeyed God, and God spoke to Samuel, said, go to Jesse's house. I've prepared a king out of one of his sons. And Samuel goes, and he goes to Jesse, and out comes 3 of the biggest, the oldest boys. And Samuel said, man, they'll make a great king. And God said, nope, they're not the one. Oh, but Lord, look, they're big. They got a great physique. They're strong. They would be a great, great leader. That's not the one. 7 sons passed, and God denied every one of them for being king. And Samuel said, is there anybody else? Well, there's a little boy down there tending the sheep. Samuel said, go get him. We're going to anoint him king. Amen. See, Samuel was a man of God, a prophet of God, but yet he was looking at the physicality rather than the spiritual of God. And so many times that's what we do. We fail to see sometimes through the eyes of faith that God is seeing. Amen. You remember the prophet and told his servant, said, go see again. Go look again. All you see is just the enemy. But go look again and look who's surrounding the enemy. Sometimes all we see is just the problem. But if we'll use a great faith, we can look and see that there's somebody around that problem. Amen. And that's the hedging power of Almighty God. Even now, I think He's hedging His power around us. Even David, the man after God's own heart, at many, many times, and we read in the Psalms, that David at times even doubted the delivering power of God. Certainly not in the 23rd Psalm. That was the time when he was exercising great faith. But some of the other Psalms, it was little faith. Lord, where are you? Why hast thou forsaken me? My enemies are too many for me to number. That was the same man exercising little faith as opposed to great faith. So what my point is, let's don't beat ourselves up sometime. Let's adjust our faith. Let's make ourselves realize, you know, Lord, what, Lord? I need to have great faith. I need to have faith to believe and call it done. I don't want the faith that says, I hope you do it. I want the faith that says, I know you're going to do it. And I know I need help in that area. I'm confessing tonight that I have seen many, many times when I wanted that great faith, but all I could muster was that little faith. Because I believe God. I believe with all of my heart. But so many times, even in my mind, I'm saying, Lord, I don't know about that one. Just being honest tonight. But I don't want it to be that way. I want to have that great faith to believe that God can do anything. Philip, one of the disciples, when they were feeding the 5,000, had a little bit of money, and he said, what is this among so many? In other words, how can we buy enough bread to feed 5,000? And Jesus didn't tell him to go to the store and buy no bread. He just said, bring me the 2 fishes and the 5 loaves.
And the Lord broke them, and he distributed them to the disciples. The disciples, in turn, distributed it to 5,000. And everybody had something to eat and had 12 baskets left over. That's how God honors great faith. Amen. God will always do over and above what we could ever even expect. Amen. Then Mary and Martha, the friends of Jesus. You remember their response, Lord, if you had just been here, if you had just been here, then our brother wouldn't die. And then Jesus said, I am the resurrection. Oh, I believe that you're the resurrection. You know, no, you don't understand. I'm about to raise your brother. I just need your great faith. I just need you to roll that stone away. Well, Lord, we can't do it by now. He stinketh. I need you to have some faith and roll that stone away because I'm about to raise your brother. That's great faith to believe that. And then finally, I want us to turn to Matthew chapter 17 and bring this to a close. Matthew the 17th chapter, beginning with verse number 14. You might recall this story. In fact, I'm pretty sure that you do. Jesus and his disciples were, after Peter and James and John and all had gone up to the mountain and they'd experienced a mighty move of God and the translation of the prophets and all, here we find that they've been praying for this person. In verse number 14, says, when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is lunatic and sore vexed, and oftentimes he falleth into the fire and oft into the water. And I brought him to the disciples, and they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. He wasn't talking to the Father. He was talking to his followers. He was talking to his disciples, those that were closest around him. So I just want to get that out of the way right now. Don't think that bad about yourself if sometimes our faith wavers because the disciples' faith wavered as well. Amen? But how many knows that if we would just exert that great faith, that faith not to doubt, to believe it done, as the disciples, in fact, later on, after the resurrection of Jesus, we find those same disciples casting out demons, doing some of the same things that they was able to witness Jesus doing it, because then they exercised that great faith. Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart, or away from the crowd, and said, why could we not cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. Seems simple. You couldn't do it because you really didn't believe what you were asking. You really didn't believe what you was commanding. You were going through the motions, but you really didn't believe it. Then he goes on to say, for verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. If you have faith as a grain of mustard seed. You know, we're talking about the size of a grain of mustard seed. And I think sometimes we get caught up on the size of the grain of mustard seed. And it's awfully, awfully small. But I think Jesus also had another motive to it when he said, you know, when you plant that seed, that mustard seed, then you expect growth out of that. It doesn't remain that little bitty seed. But you plant that seed with expectation. How many of us pray with expectation rather than praying with hope? Hope is good, but faith is expecting, amen, it to take place what we've asked the Lord to do. So that's how they learn to have faith. If you have the faith as a grain of mustard seed, you can say to that mountain, mountain be moved, and it'll be moved. Then he said, howbeit, this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting. Prayer and fasting causes us to have faith of expectation. So there is a remedy to our little faith. There is something that we can do on our part. We can let that faith grow.
by prayer and by fasting and petitioning unto God. Amen. Not that we would be anything, but that God would get all the honor and glory. There's so many great stories of people who had exceptional faith. But you know what? It's the same God that we serve. It wasn't the man. It wasn't the evangelist. It wasn't the so-called faith healer or anything. It was that they had faith to believe what they asked God to do, he would do it. And if we exhibit that type of faith, we'll see miracles performed today. Because I'm one of those that believe that God is still doing miracles. I don't believe the day of miracles is over. In fact, I believe we have not because we ask not. So let's use that faith. Let's expect when we pray and we ask God, believing that God is going to do all things. As we sang other than, only believe, only believe. Seems so simple. But you know, that is so powerful. If we can believe, then we will receive. Amen. Would you stand tonight? God bless you. I love you so much coming out on a Wednesday night. I appreciate each and every one of you. Appreciate the songs tonight. Again, excuse our little technicalities tonight. You know, we're still filtering around with things. But I think the live stream is doing really, really good. The clarity of it, we're able to see it, and the voices and the sound and all. God has blessed us, and I think it's reaching a lot of households, and I thank God for that. Not that we're lifting ourselves up, but we're lifting up the name of Jesus, amen. And the more people that can hear about it, the more people can hear about Jesus or see us worshiping and praising the Lord, the greater it'll be, amen. It'll be a wonderful type of ministry to reach out to each and every one. Amen. Would you bow your heads? If you have a need of prayer tonight, please come forward. We'll pray with you. We know. We just talked about faith. Amen. We're going to have to believe what we ask for. So if you need prayer tonight, as everyone bows their head and close their eyes, this altar is open. If you need prayer, come forward tonight, and we'll pray with you. We'll pray for you. While every head is bowed, if you just have a special prayer request that you want the pastor to believe with you, just lift your hand up, and I'll be praying with you this week. God bless you. I see those hands, and we'll pray those for those situations. I don't have to know about them because God does. All I have to do is agree with you that God's going to touch it in the Lord's name. Brother Jim, if you would come, dismiss us with a word of prayer. May God bless you, church. I love you so very much.
Amen. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Just want to worship Him. Praise God. Thank the Lord. We just thank you for this message tonight and for His Word, that He allows each and every one of us to have that free access to His Word. Praise God. All hearts and minds clear. What a wonderful message this evening. I know as we were talking about faith, just like our prayers earlier, there is victory in that name, Jesus. We just praise the Lord. On you online, watching live, glad to have you with us. If you have a prayer request, please just type it in the comments. We'll be glad to pray with you, because it's not about us. It's all about Him. And we'll just turn it over to the Lord. All righty then. With this prayer, we're going to be dismissed, but I'd like to ask anyone that'd like to join after. Since I've been here, we've prayed for animals. We've prayed for so many different things, but we've got our grandson with us tonight, and he's got a new vehicle, and I know we've prayed for all the teens, but I've asked Brother Eddie if we get some, that we're just going to gather around his truck and anoint it and just ask God to protect, for protection and guidance and that. And as he's fixing to graduate and going on to school, we just want God just to touch and to protect. Same with anyone else. We just love the Lord. Our most gracious and heavenly Father, Lord, we just love you. Lord, we thank you again for allowing us to gather in your house, but most of all, dear Lord, in your name. Lord, we just love and praise you, dear Lord, as we come to you tonight. Lord, and we prepare to depart. We ask for your protection. We thank you for those up here in the sanctuary, those with the young people downstairs and with the teens. Lord, we thank you for just your love, your mercy, and your grace. Lord, now for anyone watching at this time, Lord, may you just touch their prayer request. Dear Lord, touch them. And, dear Lord, we just love and praise you in Jesus' name. And we all say, amen, amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Y'all have a wonderful rest of the week. Invite you to Sunday school Sunday morning. Love to have you.